Today we're looking at the parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector. And this is a parable about humility. Humility, have you ever met someone that is truly humble? I've met a lot of people that will tell you they're humble. You know what I mean? But have you met someone who's truly humble? It is a rare gem. And I think it's a gem that I know I need to dig a little harder to find. Well, humility is defined as a modest or low view of one's own importance. And it's from the Latin humilis, and that means low, to be low. And so this parable in Luke chapter 18 shows us about humility. The parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector. In Luke 18, starting at verse 9. And it reads like this. To some who were confident of their own righteousness and looked down on everybody else. And that right there is the key. Again, Luke gives us a huge hint as to what this parable is about. Jesus told this parable. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood up and prayed about himself. God, I thank you that I am not like other men, robbers and evildoers, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week and give a tenth of all I get. But the tax collector stood at a distance. He would not even look up to heaven, but beat his breast and said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. I tell you that this man, rather than the other, went home justified before God. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and whoever humbles himself will be exalted. A Pharisee and a tax collector. Interesting that Jesus would pick these two main characters in this parable. By the way, do you remember a couple of weeks ago when I was telling about the parable of the unrighteous judge and the widow? Remember I tell you I had a theory as to why Jesus chose a widow? Only one of you asked about that. Do you know why I think Jesus chose a widow in that one? Because a widow had nothing to bargain with. If it had been another man, he could have offered to work for the judge to hear his case, or pay the judge to hear his case. A woman could have bribed him with something. But a widow, she's got nothing. Totally at the mercy of the judge. And so here, Jesus chose a Pharisee and a tax collector. And Jesus could not have picked two more polar opposites of stereotypes for that day. I mean, these two were bookends of every type of person that was in that society. The Pharisees, we know, were a strict sect of Jewish men who were experts in the law of Moses and the teachings of the Talmud, the oral teachings handed down over the centuries. They were sticklers for strict obedience to the law, and they took great pride in that. And on the other end is the tax collector. The tax collector was deeply despised by the Jewish people, because at this time, Israel was under Roman occupation, and every citizen was required to pay a tax or a tribute to Caesar. Now, when you paid a tribute to another ruler, you were essentially saying, yes, you are over me. Yes, I acknowledge your awesomeness and your power. Yes, I acknowledge that you are great and mighty. And in the case of Caesar, who proclaimed himself God, you pay a tribute, yes, I acknowledge you as God, or a God. And so you can see how this would just not sit well to a Jewish person. They're declaring the greatness and awesomeness and the deity of Caesar when they have to pay this tribute, this tax. So you can imagine that those whose job it was to collect that tax or that tribute would bear the brunt of their anger. And so a collector would have to be a pretty tough cookie, or at least have some pretty tough cookies around him. He would be a marked man. What does that phrase even mean? Where'd that come from? Tough cookies. When I worked for the furniture store, part of my job was to collect on overdue bills. I know, me, big tough guy. And I was sent to this house, and it was an elderly lady, and I was trying to be as nice as I could, you know. Ma'am, you're past due, I need to collect. Well, she slams the door in my face. I got used to that. And she calls the store. I don't appreciate you sending your tough cookies out to harass me. And so you can imagine, I get back to the store and everyone's just laughing. Oh, here's our tough cookie harassing the old ladies. So, yeah. So, Eva, you're not the first old lady I've been tough with. I'm a tough cookie. Well, these tax collectors were not known for their honesty. And if the tax collector was a Jewish man, he would be hated even more by his countrymen because he would be seen as a traitor to his people and to God. If he were a Gentile, that is a non-Jewish person, he would be hated as a pagan Gentile dog. And either way, he would be one of the most hated people in the community. And so the contrast between these two people could not have been greater. And Jesus said they went up to the temple to pray. And they go up to the temple because the temple was built on top of the hill. And so a lot of the Psalms say, let us go up to Zion. Anytime you go up to the temple, you're going up. So they're going up to pray. It was the place to go to pray. That's where they believed that God dwelt. And so we take a look at Dr. Pharisee and his prayer. And aren't you just a little shocked by the boldness of this prayer? It's a short prayer. And in this short prayer, he uses I, the pronoun I, five times. I. And it seems his prayer is more about himself than about God. This man is clearly relying on his own self-righteousness, on the things that he does. And that's a false righteousness. There's not a word of praise to God. Only about how great he is. There's really not a hint of true thankfulness. He does thank God that he's not like these other people. But that's as far as it goes. And you know, if we're just going to compare ourselves with other people, it's easy to find someone else that you're better than. You don't have to look too far. Even among a group like this. There's always someone who's a bigger jerk than you are. But there's not a drop of humility in this man's prayer. It's all about, It's like he's saying, look how great God has made me. I do all the right things. I pray the right prayers at the right times. I wash and I purify myself the way the law demands. I do everything. I tithe the exact amount. I even tithe my spices and weigh them out. I attend every religious event faithfully. How could God not love me more than these others? The Pharisee has fulfilled the law perfectly. And he's relying on that to be justified before God. And so he has a false righteousness. And then we come to Mr. Tax Collector, Mr. T Collector. And I can't help but wonder what's going on in this man's life. What has drawn him to the temple courts to pray? Something is going on. Perhaps it's been a while since he's even been up to the temple. Perhaps he's not welcome there. Because it's easier to stay away from places where the people just look at you with condemnation and judgment. And oftentimes the attitude of people of a particular place is seen as a reflection of the God of that place. So if the people are there judging me, well, what must God think of me? Perhaps God is judging me as well. And yet if the people are warm and welcoming, then the God that they worship just might also be warm and welcoming. So here he is, standing before God. We can imagine that his legs might be trembling a little bit, quivering in fear, feeling the weight of the conviction of his sin. And it must weigh a ton. And he can't even lift his head. He can't even look up to the glory of God. And he beats his breast, a sign of deep distress. It's kind of his way of saying, woe is me. I deserve whatever beating God has in store for me. His only prayer is to humbly ask for mercy and forgiveness. And he knows he doesn't deserve it. He knows that he can't earn it. He is simply appealing to God's grace. I was thinking about this parable and the people who might have been around Jesus as he was telling it. And I wondered about Matthew, his disciple. What do you think Matthew was thinking as Jesus told this parable? Mm-hmm. Matthew was a tax collector. Was Jesus thinking about Matthew as he told this? We don't know. But I was imagining Matthew's reaction at Jesus' mention of a tax collector. And maybe he was a bit shocked. Maybe he was a little embarrassed. And when Jesus said the tax collector's prayer, could it be that he was anonymously quoting a prayer that he had heard Matthew himself pray? And did Jesus look at Matthew with that glint in his eye as he said, I tell you, this man went down justified rather than the other. For whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and whoever humbles himself will be exalted. Aren't you glad that Jesus chose a tax collector to be one of his disciples? One who was most despised by his fellow countrymen became one of the closest followers of Jesus. What grace our Lord has. Well, there are several things that we can learn from the case of the Pharisee. Several things that we better learn. We can learn that it's not the one who has the most accepted and traditional beliefs that has the most humility. We see that that people may be externally moral. They can say all the right things and do all the right things. And they cannot be righteous in the sight of God. We learn that they may be very exact in the external duties of their religion, of their faith and practice, and even go beyond what is required and still be strangers to true holiness. And we see that boasting before God of what we are and of what we have done is repulsive in God's sight. Because everyone who exalts himself will be humbled. But the one who humbles himself will be exalted. Essentially, the Pharisees saw prayer and his spiritual life as a way to be exalted. But the tax collector approached God with humility. And that's one of the reasons why I encourage people to come to the prayer altar. The act of kneeling is a humble position. And sometimes we need to get in a physical position for our hearts to be in a right position. True humility is simply seeing things the way that they are, seeing ourselves the way that we are. In Romans chapter 12, verse 3, Paul says, "By the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment," or think of yourself with a right mind. This is Paul's way of saying, hey, folks, you're not that great. You're not as good as you think you are. You really need to humble yourself. The Pharisee saw himself as something great when he wasn't. And the tax collector saw himself as a sinner, needing God's mercy, which is exactly what he was. Paul says in Philippians chapter 2, "Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourself." And in Colossians chapter 3, he says, as God's chosen people, that we are to clothe ourselves with humility. Literally, we're supposed to wrap ourselves in the garment of humility. This is what we wear. We gain nothing by coming to God in the lie of our pride. The principle that God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble is so important that God repeats it 3 times in the scriptures, in Proverbs and in James and in 1 Peter. And when God says something 3 times, you really need to pay attention to what he's saying. I am personally aware of an ecclesiastical example of this parable. The leadership of a particular church was considering the idea of starting a ministry to those struggling with addictions. When the pastor and the board brought this to the congregation, the pastor was shocked and sickened by the reaction that he received. And notes started coming into his office, appearing on his desk. Most of them were anonymous, some weren't. And the notes were saying in a variety of ways that those kind of people will ruin the church. That those kind of people don't have any money to give. Why would we want them coming here? They will only drag us down as a congregation. Well, the pastor got up one Sunday and read those notes to the congregation. And he told the congregation, those kind of people are already here. Some of you are addicted to drugs. Some of you are addicted to alcohol. Some of you are addicted to pornography. Some are addicted to being a Pharisee. And they all need the life-transforming gospel of Jesus Christ. Well, how about you? Who are the ones that you consider as those people? Those people that if you were to associate with them, well, it might harm your reputation. Is it someone of another race or nationality? Is it the drug addict or the alcoholic? Is it the one with the homeless sign outside of Walmart? Is it the people in Walmart? Is it an economic class, a different religion? Those people, whoever they may be, are the ones who are looking for an authentic example of the Jesus that they read about, but have a hard time finding in a church. Will they find Jesus here? Among you? Or will we just stand and say, God, I'm thankful that we're not like those people? Let's pray. In fact, I'm going to ask you if you would stand and pray with me. Lord, we pray the prayer of the tax collector. We say, God, would you be merciful on sinners such as we? Would you search our hearts? Oh, Lord, may we feel a right conviction for our sins. A conviction that comes from your Holy Spirit. Lord, would you bring out from deep within us the Pharisee that looks on others with contempt? Who are we, O Lord, to look at anybody and to think that we are better than they? Who are we to think that you approve of us because we're here in church week after week and we do all the right things? Perhaps we don't say out loud the same words as the Pharisee in this parable. We don't speak them, but we think them. We think them. And we have learned from the Lord Jesus that thinking sinful thoughts carries the same consequence as saying the sinful words and doing the sinful deeds. And so we appeal to you, Lord, in your mercy, to purify our hearts. We ask, O God, that you would cleanse us, that we may be white as snow. May the atoning blood of Jesus Christ be applied to our lives, that we may stand pure and holy before you by your grace and your mercy. And prepare us, Lord, to be your ambassadors in our world, whether we are in our workplace or our neighborhood or at the grocery store, where people may see in us the resurrected Christ that brings life and wholeness to all people. Lord, would you do this powerful work within us by your Holy Spirit? You've promised us a new heart, and we ask for that new heart. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You are dismissed humbly. Be blessed.